Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn. Hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
Dr. Barry, you're an incredible doctor, but you're also just a person. I've heard you say before, doctors are just dudes and chicks, and you have your own powerful personal story.
My mother kind of flew the coop, so I wound up being raised by Granny Barry. Turns out that was one of the biggest blessings of my entire life. So I got some labs checked, and I was pre-diabetic, very inflamed, triglycerides were high, just a metabolic mess. I jumped on the scales and I weighed 297 pounds.
Where do you feel you would be right now had you not found a proper human diet?
I would be somewhere between obese and severely obese. I would be a full-blown type 2 diabetic. I would probably already have Barrett's esophagus. I would have probably already had my right knee replaced. I might have had the big one and be out of here. My kids might all be orphans now because of that.
What does it mean for you, your children growing up this way and eating properly?
It means everything to me. Beckett just turned 5 years old. I'm actually able to save the life and to improve the life of people on other continents, places I've never been. There is hope. There absolutely is hope.
And you changed my life because I used your videos to get me through the worst part of this.
I'm getting emotional because you really helped save me, man. And that means a lot, dude.
When someone looks you in the eyes and they say, Dr. Barry, you saved my life, how does that make you feel? Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the Power of a Proper Human Diet. And today I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to have Dr. Barry back on the channel. Welcome, Dr. Barry. How are you doing?
Thank you, Carrie. I'm doing great. Hope everybody watching is doing well.
Dr. Barry, you're an incredible doctor. You've shared your expertise as a doctor on my channel and other channels. But you're also just a person. I've heard you say before, doctors are just dudes and chicks, and you have your own powerful personal story. And that's what I was hoping to dig into a little bit here today. That's what we're doing with this documentary, is we're sharing real inspirational individual stories. Could you take us back maybe a little bit to the beginning? It's kind of hard for me to imagine a young Dr. Barry growing up. What was your childhood like?
So I was actually raised by my paternal grandmother due to some strife and unstableness in my mother and father's relationship. My father was kind of a traveling engineer and my mother kind of flew the coop. So I wound up being raised by Granny Barry, who was my dad's mother. And that actually, although when I was a kid, I didn't understand it, and it seemed like a terrible thing. It turns out that was one of the biggest blessings of my entire life because it gave me access to the previous generation. I think a lot of kids raised by the generation that my mother and father were got a lot of crazy mixed messages. And I was fortunate enough to get a very clear, very focused message from the previous generation. My grandmother was a child during the Great Depression, very, very poor family. My grandfather was a child during the Great Depression, very poor family. And Granny Barry's told me more than once that they didn't even know there was a Great Depression. It literally didn't change anything in their life. Before the Great Depression, they could see the chickens walking around underneath the house because of the cracks in the floor, and during it and after it, that was the same thing. Nothing changed. So I got a very common sense look at the world. And that common sense boils down to 1 + 1 = 2, whether you like it or not. And growing up, it was always go outside and play. I'll see you at dinner. Unless there's a bone sticking out or blood gushing, we're not going to the doctor. All these common sense, practical, kind of classic Americana values and mores and rules that were ingrained in me. And so then when I wound up going to undergraduate at Middle Tennessee State University, learning all of the kind of cutting edge science, if you will, keep in mind that the average undergrad university's biology and chemistry programs are typically 10 to 15 years behind what's actually going on in the science. And then from there to medical school at the University of Tennessee in Memphis, again, way behind. I can remember some of the lectures that I was given that were just foolishness. But, you know, the medical schools have to teach to the medical board step one, step two, and step three that you take in order to become a licensed practicing physician. So their hands were kind of tied, and so they had to wind up teaching us all of this esoteric, out-of-date foolishness in order for us to pass step one of the boards and step two and step three. And so you waste countless hours of time in undergrad and in medical school, professional school, learning stuff that you're never going to use when you're out being a practicing professional in whatever your branch of being a professional is. And I was always very slender, very active, very athletic. I played 3 sports all through school and then wound up focusing on basketball. I was lined up to have a basketball scholarship at a small college in Florida. And the summer before that, I was out at the city park, just pickup basketball game. And I could always jump really high for a white boy and was dunking. And I just got off balance, tore my anterior cruciate ligament. Again, thinking, oh, that's the worst thing in the world. My life is over. Turns out that was a blessing because then I didn't get to focus on basketball. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll try to make good grades then, which I had not done up until that point. And so I started applying myself and trying to actually learn stuff and make good grades. And that worked out pretty well for me. during my residency after medical school, I started to get fat. Late residency and early medical practice when I was out practicing, started to gain weight. And I knew I was gaining weight, but I worked full time in the clinic and also full time in the emergency department as well. So I basically lived in scrubs, which have a drawstring at the waist, right? And so there's no elastic, there's no button. And so I knew I'd gain weight, but I didn't realize how much. And until at one point, I forget what the impetus was, but I jumped on the scales and I weighed 297 pounds. And I'm like, whoa, you know, I'm 6'3", so I like to think I carried it well, but I probably didn't carry that well. And so when I saw my weight on the scale, I thought, well, I probably need to get some blood work done because most medical professionals know doctors and nurses are terrible patients. We don't think about our own health at all. So I got some labs checked and I was pre-diabetic, very inflamed, triglycerides were high, just a metabolic mess. And so as you may be able to tell, I'm a Southern boy and I've already talked to you about common sense. And 1 + 1 = 2. And all of my patients in Tennessee were that way too. So you couldn't be a car mechanic who had a bunch of cars that wouldn't start in the front yard and be going to your neighbor saying, hey, I can fix your car. People would be like, can you really? I don't know. So in the same vein, I couldn't be a severely obese doctor who's pre-diabetic and go in and tell these common sense patients, hey, you need to lose some weight.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
It just that wasn't going to work for me. And so I had to fix my own health. And so I tried for 3 months to follow the American Diabetes Association's guidelines and their diet handouts and actually gained weight and got more pre-diabetic. And that was the point where I realized, you know, maybe what little I was taught in nutrition in medical school was wrong. And maybe what the American Diabetes Association is saying was wrong, is wrong. Maybe I should start looking into this nutrition thing. And I started to do that. And I found the Dr. Atkins Diet Revolution. I found the Primal Blueprint. I found the Paleo Diet. And based on what was in those three books, I'm like, okay, this is goes against everything I was taught. And, you know, it goes against everything the ADA says for prediabetes, but let me try it out. So what that led to was me eating more meat and cutting the carbs. And so I got rid of all the highly processed junk carbs. And for a while, I was very high veg paleo. I can remember I would buy a bunch of vegetables and I would chop them like an hour and a half. I would chop and I would make this huge salad bowl of like, I called it like nutrient dense salsa, right? So I would have corn and beans and nuts and broccoli chopped up and asparagus chopped up. And I'd put a jar of sugar-free salsa in there and mix that all up. And then I would eat that with blue corn, non-GMO corn chips, because they had to be less bad than just regular corn chips. And I had to have some kind of vehicle to get this Dr. Berry salsa to my mouth. And it didn't, you know, I was a little better, but not the kind of better that I was looking for. I was looking to heal these things, not just slow them down. And so I kept cutting the carbs and kept cutting the carbs. I heard about keto, started reading and found out there's actually a lot of literature that supports keto. And then I found out through Gary Taubes' book that actually at least once a generation, a doctor rediscovers that a meat-only diet heals type 2 diabetes and makes type 1 diabetics live longer and just does all these things and helps people lose weight. And it, back then, without social media, it would come and get very popular. Then it would kind of get beat down by the mainstream narrative. And then it would go away for and then it would be kind of dormant for a generation. Then it would come back again. Oh, wait, this meat-only diet. And so I was pretty active on Facebook. And I kept seeing stories about this Sean Baker. He's an orthopedic surgeon, been disgraced, been, you know, just thoroughly debunked. But everybody was starting to talk about carnivore. It was coming back for our generation. And I thought, well, okay, that'd be a good challenge. I mean, because if you think about it, carnivore is as low carb as you can possibly get. And I had already figured out that the more I cut the carbs, the more weight I lost, the better my blood sugar was, the better my A1C was. So I'm like, well, that's like the logical progression. I've went from kind of paleo primal to low carb to keto. Why not just go to turn the carbohydrate intake knob down to zero or as close to it as you can get? I'll just go carnivore. So I did a Facebook challenge and said, hey, let's all do a month of carnivore. And a lot of people don't know this part of the story. Before that, even when I was eating my huge, I was eating pounds a day of chopped up raw vegetables and nuts and seeds and stuff in my Dr. Berry salsa and recommending that to my patients. But I was having the worst heartburn you can possibly imagine. I was taking 2 Nexium every day. Plus, I had Tums in my pocket at all times. Now, Nexium is a very strong proton pump inhibitor. And I did not know at that time that taking it long term can have disastrous health consequences. I didn't know that. I was good friends with the Nexium rep. He always came in a suit and tie and we talked about whatever I was interested in. He was a very selfless guy, very, you know, he was a handsome guy. He's very well spoken. And he always seemed very interested in whatever I was interested in. And I come to find out later, that's actually the Big Pharma playbook. They train them to be very interested in whatever the doctor's interested in. That's a trick. That's a marketing ploy. That's how you promote propaganda. And so he would bring extra Nexium samples, and my patients wouldn't get those. I would take two every day. I kept those for me. But then when I really cut the carbs down and was true keto, my heartburn got 80% better. But I still had it. And so it turns out I had known this from a few years back that I have a hiatal hernia. And most doctors think if you have a hiatal hernia, you're going to have heartburn. That's just a given. And so, but it had gotten so much better with just keto, meat heavy keto, that I could take an occasional Nexium. I had Tums in my pocket still. I would take a swig of apple cider vinegar every now and then, but it was much, much better on keto. But after that month of carnivore, that I just did a random challenge just to say, hey, let's try this. It occurred to me, I haven't had a heartburn a single day this carnivore month. That's really weird. There's no way carnivore did that. How's that possible, right? But I hadn't taken anything for heartburn that whole month. And I'd been taking heartburn something my entire adult life. I'd had heartburn because of the hiatal hernia, but mainly because of my shit diet. So when the carnivore challenge month was over, I kept doing carnivore because it was really nice not to have Tums in my pocket all the time and not to have the apple cider vinegar sitting right there in my cubby at work. It was really nice because when you have severe reflux, people who have it know this, it actually affects your ability to speak. And that's what I did for a living, was talk to patients. And I was chronically hoarse. I had to clear my voice constantly, clear my throat. And then I would have a sore throat very often when I woke up, and it was because of the chronic reflux. But I didn't have any of that anymore, and it was almost miraculous. And so, as you can imagine, as a doctor who tries to understand why these things are happening to me and to patients, I kept looking back at my physiology textbook and my pathophys textbook and my biochemistry and my cell and molecular biology. It's like, because I would have people on Facebook, and then I was starting YouTube as well. They would leave comments like, you know, I did this keto or carnivore thing and my knee arthritis got so much better. And I'm like, that's just anecdote. That, you know, people are so susceptible to the placebo effect. If they believe something's going to help, then it's liable to help. That's just human nature. But I kept hearing these stories, and I kept seeing people say, man, my reflux is so much better on carnivore, or my reflux went completely away on carnivore. I'm like, how physiologically, how biochemically, how is that possible? And then I had a patient who had eosinophilic esophagitis, which at that point I thought was incurable. I thought that was an autoimmune disorder or something, and he's going to have to take Nexium. He was a good friend of mine, and he also followed me on social media. He did a month of carnivore, and he came in for his EOE checkup and refills on his Nexium. He's like, Doc, I've been doing this carnivore thing. You did the challenge. My heartburn's gone. I haven't had any symptoms in a month or two. Is that possible? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe. I said, let's check your complete blood cell count. Let's check your eosinophil count. It was normal. His eosinophils had always been elevated every time I had checked his complete blood count with differential. It was normal. So this guy went from having severe reflux esophagitis and chronically elevated eosinophil count to having neither. And he was eating meat and eggs and seafood. And I'm like, okay, there's something here, because he was a train conductor. He had a college degree. This was not just some riffraff guy. This was a guy that thought about the world. He understood physics and mechanics and engineering. He knew all this stuff. And he's like, dude, I'm just telling you, I don't even know where my bottle of Nexium is. I've misplaced it, but I don't care because I don't need it. That's when I really started going, okay, there's something here. This is more than just a weight loss hack. Because at that point on carnivore, my weight was back. My BMI was normal. My waist to height ratio was back to normal. I was feeling great. I was starting to play basketball again and starting to actually go out and play again, not work out, you know, which kind of pay for my sins with doing exercise. It was fun to go outside and play with my kids again. So I was doing that very routinely. And that's when I really started digging in, like, there's got to be more to this. And that's when I found out about the Arctic Explorer, who was locked in a metabolic ward and had eaten only fatty meat for a year, did not develop scurvy, did not develop any of the deficiencies that we were taught that you would develop very quickly. I discovered Amber O'Hearn, who's still a good friend to this day, who had used carnivore to put all of her mental health issues in remission. I just kept discovering these stories and then trying to go back to the physiology and be like, how does this make sense? So for a while, I was looking at maybe humans do have the machinery to make their own vitamin C. If you eat a diet that's low enough in carbohydrates and low enough in vitamin C, maybe we somehow ramp back up that machinery. No, we're missing an enzyme. That's impossible. We can't do that. But how? I haven't had any vitamin C. I haven't eaten any fruit juice, anything in months. But when I check my vitamin C level, it's still normal. How is that possible? I hadn't discovered yet that fresh meat has a little bit of vitamin C, that organ meat has a good supply of vitamin C, and also that vitamin C and glucose use the same glute transport to get across the cell membrane. So when you cut the sugar drastically, you don't need nearly as much vitamin C in your diet. Then I started looking into archaeology and anthropology, and initially looking at modern existing hunter-gatherer groups and reading all the research on that. And it's like, these guys, a lot of them just eat mainly meat or meat and milk or some combination. But then I discovered skunk, because they always have some kind of plant source in their diet. And then I read a book by Jared Diamond and a couple of other anthropological books about how basically every hunter-gatherer group that we have today that's extant, they are living on, they're not living in their ancestral hunting grounds. They have been pushed by modern society to the margin. They've been pushed to basically the land that nobody else wants. Can't farm it. You can't raise animals on it. That's where they're living. So it's quite possible that their current diet is not what their ancestral diet was, because they're not on their ancestral hunting grounds. They've been pushed, just like the Native American. This has happened in every single continent. The hunter-gatherer people who want to still do the old way, they get pushed to the margins. And so they're on the scrubland that nobody wants. So, of course, their diet now is not going to be what their diet was 1,000 years ago. And that's when I was like, okay, now I got to start looking into paleoanthropology now. And then I discovered this test called stable isotope analysis that we can use to tell what kind of plants people eat. Are they C3 or C4? We can use strontium and nitrogen and all these other isotopes that we can pretty much tease out not only what humans ate 100,000 years ago, we can tease out what animals eat. It's a super powerful tool that they use. And when you start looking at everything through that lens, human beings have eaten mainly meat if they could get it. That was always their preference. If they could get it, they ate as much meat as they could put in their belly. If they were starving, they would eat plants. And so even though we live in a modern society, I've got the latest iPhone, I've got the fiber internet, I've got all these modern things, I finally came to the realization that, yeah, I like modern life. I like to live, in a modern situation. But when it comes to the air I breathe and the water I drink and the food I eat, they need to be as ancestrally appropriate as possible. They need to be as close as I can get them to greater than 15,000 years ago, which pushes us before the Younger Dryas event, whatever that was. And it pushes us before the agricultural de-evolution that happened probably as a result of the Greater Dryas catastrophe. So that's where we're at. We're an ancient species with ancient DNA, but we're living in this modern society. We've basically self-domesticated. And so if you eat the modern diet, you're going to have the modern chronic illnesses. But if you can live a modern life, but if you keep your diet as ancient as possible, which means as much fatty meat as possible, seafood, eggs, anything that's full of healthy animal fat and animal protein, your risk of developing these diseases is going to plummet. And if you already have one of them, your symptoms are going to improve. The rate at which you have flare-ups is going to decrease. And in many cases, you'll reverse that chronic disease completely. And so that's kind of where I'm at today, is now trying to share this message of everything I've learned with as many people as I can, because most people and many doctors don't know anything about what I just described. And it's not necessarily their fault that they don't know, but it is definitely their problem that they don't know. And so that's what I'm busy doing now, is trying to say, hey, you're a Homo sapiens sapien. There is a specific diet for you. Just like cows should eat grass and lions should eat meat, there is a proper human diet for you. And the degree to which you stray from that, you will encounter chronic metabolic disease.
That's great. It's interesting, sort of the backstory with Granny Berry and common sense and wisdom. Maybe that's why we all appreciate Dr. Berry videos so much. It is something that scares me for the future. When you look at the average life expectancy, we're losing a lot of that wisdom that could be passed down to other generations nowadays, with people dying younger and younger.
Yeah, are dying younger. People aren't getting as tall as they used to. Their dental health is suffering tremendously. Their IQ is suffering tremendously. And I think I worry about this too, Gary. I worry that we're going to lose this stuff. But I think now we're starting to see a great resurgence in people looking at the old ways. I've got several books here on farming from the 1920s and the 1910s and the 1880s that I have found at old bookstores and on eBay. And I think a lot of people are going, okay, how did my great-great-grandmother do this? How did my great-great-grandfather do this? And I think that's a very healthy exercise. Even if you don't make any adjustments based on it, at least you know there's more than one way to do all these things. And the way we're currently doing it, the way that's currently being recommended to us, that may not be the best way to do this.
Right.
I got to show you this real quick. Speaking of books, I don't know if you've seen this one. It's Meat Three Times a Day. This is incredible. It talks about all the benefits of meat, but you start reading it, and it's from the 1940s. It's incredible.
I haven't heard of that one. Now I'll be on the lookout for that. Let me write that down. Meat Three Times a Day.
So, Dr. Berry, where do you feel you would be right now had you not found a proper human diet? You continued doing what you were doing.
I would be, if I hadn't rediscovered the principles of a proper human diet, I would be somewhere between obese and severely obese. I would be a full-blown type 2 diabetic. I would probably already have Barrett's esophagus from the chronic reflux. I would have probably already had my right knee replaced from that ACL tear, even though now, eating this way, I have zero knee pain. But before I discovered this, my knee was stiff and achy and swollen every single day. I'd probably be on a handful of medications for cholesterol, for blood pressure, for type 2 diabetes. I'm 50, 55, 56. I forget. It's just a number now. I don't care, because I feel so good. But I would have probably already had my first minor heart attack at this point in my career because of all the metabolic damage I had done. I might have had the big one and be out of here. My kids might all be orphans now because of that. But there's no telling. I might actually be in prison, because before I started eating this way, I was chronically furious, and I'd be on the interstate driving and somebody do something dumb, and I would be the guy exercising some of specific finger muscles and swerving and honking, and you know, I could have been in a road rage incident and be dead or be in prison. Any number of pathways, none of which are good, could have been my present, which back then would have been my future. But none of that stuff happened, because as I heal metabolically, I also heal mentally. And I was able to think clearer, and I was able to be less furious all the time, and I was able to be more circumspect in the way I looked at things. and not react in the heat of the moment. And, you know, initially I chalked that up to, I've read a lot of stoicism and I'm practicing that. And that's true. That did help. But I don't think I could be as stoic as I am now if it weren't for the diet that I'm eating. I think it helps with brain inflammation. I think it helps with mental acuity and mental clarity, all of which are required. They are required for you to view the world circumspectly and to view the world logically and calmly. Even if things are burning down around you, you can at some point say, okay, how can we make the best of this? And before I started eating this way, that was not in my vocabulary.
Yeah. There's something to it, that carnivore zen. A lot of people do carnivore or proper human diet for one reason or another, but we've interviewed 34 people now for the documentary. We just interviewed Dr. Georgia Ede a couple of days ago, and it was incredible. And we were talking a little bit about that more, the brain fog and the fatigue. Yeah, incredible. Change your diet, change your mind. I told her my only complaint is I wish I had that book like 20 years ago when I was on all this medication. I really believe it would have saved my life.
Yep.
It's just incredible the work she's doing there. So Dr. Berry, my next question for you, something that I'm excited for you is you've got young children, a young family, your family's eating a proper human diet. What does it mean for you, your children growing up this way and eating properly?
It means everything to me. Beckett just turned 5 years old, and he's currently taking second grade classes. He's homeschooled, and so he blew through kindergarten like it was nothing when he was four. He finished his first grade work. He's now in second grade as a five-year-old. Bonnie is about to turn three in a few months, and when she turns three, she's going to start kindergarten classes. Nisha's mom is a retired school teacher, so we're blessed to have her, and she gets basically, you know, built-in time with her grandkids and gets to every teacher trick she learned over 20 years, she gets to use that on them. But their ability to learn and their ability to not lose their shit if things don't go exactly right, for them to be able to calm themselves down and self-soothe. And even though they may have some of you know, my genetics, the ADHD and stuff, they're able to control that and they're able to work around that. And they're able to interact with the world with joy and with happiness and with eagerness. And I'm blessed beyond measure to have a wonderful wife and a wonderful mother-in-law and these two babies. I've got six kids. The first four, I did not know anything about diets, and they now are aware, and they're making changes and improving their health. But I set a terrible example for my first four kids, and their health suffered because of it. Now they're taking charge of it. But I love it that these two are getting it from day one. The first bite of food in both of their mouths when they started eating solid food was meat. And they've both been raised on meat and eggs. They have some occasional berries, occasional nuts, whatever. But the majority of their food, the first food in their mouth each morning is meat or eggs or both. And I think that makes a world of difference for not only their metabolic health, but for their mental health and mental development as well.
Yeah, it's incredible just thinking of those early years while the brain's developing, the body's developing, and putting the proper fuel in the tank. I think that's a big regret I have for my children as well, and many other people do. Not much I can do about it now. My wife and I have triplets plus one. They're all eating a proper human diet now. It's incredible the change in seeing them in teenagers going from before to this. It's been pretty incredible. So one other question I had for you, I think is kind of interesting, is you did keto and you did carnivore. I followed a very similar path to you. I had some of these pills were for acid reflux, amongst the many other issues I had, but I found Atkins and I did keto and I did okay. I did better than I've ever done on anything else, but I would always go back to moderation and I'd gain all the weight back. And I've realized that on carnivore, I am basically on keto. I was trying to moderate my addiction to carbohydrates, and on carnivore, I'm fully abstaining. So for me, it feels like carnivore is the way for me. I know different people are different, but
Do you feel similar? I mean, I get people, and this is usually doctors, influencers, or other people that were never obese like I was or like you were, that are like, just go back to moderation. You could do this. And I'm like, no way. If I have some little bit of carbohydrates here or a cheat day here, it's just going to throw me off the rails.
Yep. And that's the same way I live my life as well. I'm a carb addict. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But I don't think everybody has to be a carnivore for the rest of their life. I think everybody needs to do 90 days of carnivore, beef, butter, bacon, and eggs, just to reset. It's the most uninflammatory diet you can eat. It's the lowest carb diet you can eat. Do that for 90 days. And then if you are a moderator and you can do that, then go back to keto or maybe even low carb if you're active enough. But if you're a sugar addict, if you are not able to moderate, which I'm not able to moderate at all, then it is perfectly healthy, safe, and fine, and nutrient dense, complete to stay carnivore. And so that's what I do. That's my personal strategy. But the proper human diet spectrum ranges all the way from low carb, under 100 total grams of carbs a day, down to you know, keto, ketovore, carnivore. And then some people with severe autoimmune conditions really need to look at the Lion diet, first popularized by Michaela Peterson. If you have severe autoimmune conditions, you need to look at that, which is ruminant meat only, salt and water. Do you need to do that forever? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But if you have severe inflammatory autoimmune conditions, you need to do that for 30, 60, 90 days just to see how good you can feel. But yeah, I'm 99% carnivore. Every now and then, if Nisha and I go out, I'll stray. But my worst cheat is to eat some keto foods. You know, I might eat some veg or plants or something like that. But it's never, ever do I go back to the old way. That just doesn't happen. My health couldn't sustain that. If I went back to eating that way, like I said, I would be severely obese, type 2 diabetic, and probably have a heart attack pretty quickly. So that's not an option for me because I like being healthy. I like working on the farm for hours a day and then playing with my kids when they get back home from homeschool. I like to do those things. I don't want to be that dad who's in the recliner and every joint aches and I can't get up. And, you know, I make the dad noises when I'm getting up. I don't want to be that guy. That's not attractive to me. And I don't think that's attractive to most people. And so I'm going to eat a diet that's going to allow me to live the lifestyle that I really enjoy. And I encourage everybody else to do that as well, whether it's carnivore or keto or low carb with real whole foods. I think that's the proper human diet spectrum. And somewhere on that spectrum is your best health.
Right. So you mentioned earlier sort of a turning point for you finding carnivore and changing your health. Now you're helping so many other individuals. A big turning point for me on my journey was actually six words. And the words changed my life forever. Gave my kids their father back. I'm no longer on any of this medication. I'm down 100 pounds since my heaviest. Changed my life forever. And those six words were, Dr. Barry, you saved my life. And that was on a comment on a YouTube video you did about reversing type 2 diabetes. And in fact, it wasn't just one comment. It was many, many, many comments. I had heard about carnivore from Dante Ferrigno, who, by the way, we just interviewed last week for the documentary after we interviewed Dr. Eid, which was pretty incredible. But I still thought, this guy's crazy. And then I got to do more research. And then I saw Dr. Barry videos. And no joke, I probably watched 1,001 of your videos. But I was still like, this doctor, he's pulling something here. He's selling something. There's something going on. But when I saw those six words, I'm like, I get goosebumps now thinking about it. I'm like, this is real. Like these people, 2,000 comments, they're not all faking it. So I guess my next question for you is, how does that make you feel? You found this healing for yourself. Now you're helping other people. When someone looks you in the eyes and they say, Dr. Barry, you saved my life, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I'm doing my job properly. the first few years of my medical practice, when I was practicing just traditional allopathic, here's your refills, let's check some labs, I'll see you in 6 months, I had a huge case of imposter syndrome. I felt like I was just spinning my wheels. I felt like I was getting paid well to not really do anything for anybody. But now when I see those comments, that's I would rather have that as remuneration as a check with a lot of zeros, because that's my feedback from people I've never met, probably never will meet, that I am doing my job as a doctor. I am improving the health of every person that I interact with, either in real life or virtually on social media. That's my job as a healer. That's my job, kind of walking in the footsteps of this guy right here to help improve the health of every person whose path I cross, whether that's in real life or on a YouTube video, is to be a healer. That's what I've wanted to be since I was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old and used to watch MASH and Trapper John MD and Quincy MD. I wanted to be a healer. I wanted to be the guy that saved people's lives. And initially that was trauma. You know, I thought I was going to be a trauma surgeon for a minute in med school till I realized that, you know, you got to basically get up at 4:30 every morning. And I'm like, well, I don't like that. I like to sleep late. But I did like to save people's lives, and I did like to help people improve their health, meaningfully improve their health. Not, oh, your A1C is down from 11.9 down to 11.5. Wow, we've changed the world. No, I want to reverse your type 2 diabetes so that your A1C is normal. That's what I want to do. And there is no medication that I could prescribe that would do that. I could manage people's insulin and their pills meticulously, check their blood work every 3 months, scold them and hound them and call them at home to follow the American Diabetes Association handout that I gave them. Never did it reverse their type 2 diabetes. Might improve their A1C, but now I know, looking back, I wasn't decreasing their risk of having a heart attack or a stroke. I was basically just making money for Big Pharma and making money for Big Food and increasing the donations that the ADA got. I wasn't really helping my patients at all. But now, by promoting a proper human diet, I'm actually able to save the life and to improve the life of people on other continents, places I've never been and maybe will never visit. I can have an impact on those people's health. And that's exactly what I signed up for. And that's exactly what I'll continue to do, though the heavens may fall.
It's incredible too, because with this YouTube, it's sort of like uncharted territory where, like you said, you have patients you've never even met that you're healing. But the thing that's most remarkable to me is because I like to geek out on math and numbers, and it's almost like compound interest or exponential growth when someone finds this healing, and then there's the ripple effect that someone else finds it. And that's kind of what I'm experiencing now. If you'll just bear with me for a minute, I have this 1 minute video I want to share with you.
Sure.
And then I have a question for you. And actually something that's kind of pissing me off as well that I wanted to talk to you about, but this is kind of related to the ripple effect I wanted to show you.
Almost 6 months ago, I saw you. You were my first carnivore video.
I started with your first video.
I came to one of your videos.
You know, I know you don't feel like I do, but I feel like I owe you a lot of gratitude. I really do. Had I not found that video, I really don't think I'd be here today. I mean, it saved my life. You saved my life.
You legitimately saved me.
Thank you for what you're doing and in your enthusiasm and your looks. This is amazing. And you changed my life because I used your videos to get me through the worst part of death.
I'm getting emotional because you really helped save me, man. And that means a lot. So God bless you.
I'm eternally grateful, Carrie, for you and for the others who have put yourself out there to say there's hope, because many of us had given up hope. Thank you.
I never would have been able to do this without my dad, so thank you, Dad.
I mean, you have changed my life. You are changing lives. Like, I owe you my walking.
So those are just a couple clips there I wanted to show with you. But just to show that ripple effect, every single one of those people, it was initially Dr. Barry, then Carrie, and then me. But now each of these people, like JT on there, he's got his own YouTube channel, and he's inspiring more and more people. I don't know what to say to these people, Dr. Barry, when that one woman, Renee, she had an advanced autoimmune disorder, could barely walk, and she saw one of my videos. She's like, I owe you my walking. I'm like, a deer in the headlights. I'm like, I don't know what to say. I usually say all glory to God. I'm so thankful that
I was able to help in some way. I always tell people too, I'm like, ultimately, I showed you like this is a way to do it, but you did all the hard work. So I try to tell people that, but it's the most amazing feeling in the world. I have no addictions on carnivore, but I'm kind of addicted to doing more of that. But the thing that pisses me off that I wanted to ask you about a little bit is the fact that all of these individuals, the only way they could find healing was through a YouTuber, like a homesteading YouTuber. I barely graduated high school. I'm not a professional. I'm not a doctor. And their doctors, their medical system, like, what does that say about our healthcare system if it's that broken that these people could only find healing through a YouTuber?
Well, it says a lot. And I think that it speaks to several things that are very important and that need to be talked about. First and foremost, the average healthcare provider is completely confused. They are overworked, they're underpaid, they're miseducated, and they're not curious enough to figure out what you and I and all of these people that were in that beautiful little video have figured out, is that, yeah, diet's super important. Diet really matters a lot. And diet can reverse chronic disease if you get the diet proper. So the average doctor has no idea. They think they don't even want to talk about diet with their patients because, number one, it takes a long time. And they don't have a lot of time. They've got 7 minutes with each patient. And if they have to spend 15 minutes talking about diet with one patient, now they're three patients behind. And everybody's going to be mad at them, including the office manager, maybe even including the practice owner, if that's not the doctor. If they do that often enough, they could lose their job. They could lose their career by trying to help save people's lives talking about diet. And that's a disaster. The public's trust in doctors and hospitals is at an all-time low. And that's terrible as a doctor, but it's also wonderful as a doctor because mainstream medicine doesn't deserve to be trusted right now. Doctors are going to have to re-earn that trust one patient at a time. If you go back to the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, everybody trusted their doctor. They trusted their doctor more than anybody except maybe their preacher and their mama. But that's gone. We've destroyed that. And it's from decades of giving terrible diet advice and way too many pharmaceutical drugs.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members-only videos. We do members-only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
But I think we all know that it's in large part due to the bind that doctors were put in 2020 and 2021 and 2022, and how doctors handled that. And the majority of them handled that by basically giving up and rolling over and showing their belly to big pharma and big government and big tech and saying, who am I? I'm just a little doctor. I shouldn't have a voice in this fight, when they should have been very vocal and they should have been very outspoken, but they weren't. And so now the trust in the average doctor is at an all-time low. And I think long term, that's going to be a good thing because patients need to think for themselves. You're a grown human. You've got the one of the biggest brains in the animal kingdom. You need to use that. You need to think and you need to research yourself. Doctors are going to have to regain that trust if they ever do, one patient at a time. And I think that's a good thing because what's going to come from this is actually a good, healthy doctor-patient relationship like we used to have in the old days before Big Pharma basically mucked everything up. But the second thing that I love about this is that it proves, Kerry, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you don't have to be a doctor or a dietitian or a PhD to remind a human being, hey, you're a human being. You should eat a proper human diet. I bet if you do that, your health will improve. You can be a truck driver or a grocery sacker or a hairdresser, or you can be unemployed. You can be a high school dropout. And if you've got a smartphone, you can get online and say, hey, I'm nobody. You don't have to trust me, but I did this and it worked for me. Here's what I did. If you're suffering from the same kind of conditions that I'm suffering from, maybe you should try this way of eating for 90 days. I'm not trying to sell you any supplements. I'm not trying to sell you a course. I'm not trying to take your money. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm just a dude. I'm just a chick. And I ate this way and it improved my health. If you want to, here's what I did. You should give it a try. That's literally how humanity went from being just one animal to the apex animal on this planet, is by one of us would figure something out. And then around the campfire that evening, we would tell all of our tribe members, hey, I think I figured something out. When I do this, this happens. And then the next day, everybody in the tribe would go out and they would experiment with that themselves. And if it was a good idea, it would catch on and it would become a meme in the Richard Dawkins fashion of a meme that is just information that's valuable and useful and rememberable. Everybody picks it up and it just becomes part of our belief structure. But if it was stupid, then bad things would happen when you tried that tribe member's advice. And we would all come back the next night at the campfire and say, that was stupid. That didn't work at all. And then we would all either kick that guy out or kill him or just ignore him from now on. But that's not what happens when somebody like you or the millions of people around the world who are like, hey, you should cut the carbs, get rid of the ultra processed stuff, stop eating grains, stop eating beans, stop eating vegetable seed oils. Well, what does that leave? It leaves lots of meat, eggs, and seafood, plus or minus some veg, plus or minus some nuts and berries. That's a proper human diet. That's what that is. And when people say, okay, fine, I've tried everything else. I've tried everything my doctor recommended. None of that worked. Why wouldn't I try just eating real food in a particular fashion for 90 days? Where's the downside of trying to eat food that humans have eaten for millions of years? I'll just try to eat that, only that, for 90 days and see what happens. And then when they do that, it's like you've pulled the curtains back and they can actually see, or maybe they've escaped from Plato's cave and they're seeing reality now for the first time without looking at the cave wall that Big Pharma and Big Food are projecting these false images on. And they're like, holy crap. There's a real world out here where I'm not stuck in the recliner or stuck in bed or stuck in a mental institution. I can actually have fun with my life. I can be creative. I can be productive. I can be happy. I can. And so it makes sense biologically that when one of us sees another one of us who's really happy and really successful and just they're just winning at life. And you don't have to be a millionaire to be winning at life, right? People who knew the old Kerry, who was depressed and angry and in the recliner and just wanted to take a nap. And now they see the new Kerry on YouTube. What the hell? Kerry, what are you doing? They can't help but be attracted to that. They can't help but want to know what Kerry did. How did you go from being that guy to being this guy? That's very seductive for humans, for people. We're super seduced by that. Like, what the heck is Kerry doing? And initially, we've been so trained by the Western model. Oh, he must have bought something. He must be in a multi-level marketing thing. He must It must be something I had to spend some money on or spend some effort. Well, no, actually, no, it's none of that. You don't have to spend a penny. You can just watch my free video and then just go eat meat. That's as simple as it gets. And people, when they first hear that, they're like, ah, there's got to be a catch, kind of like you were. There's got to be a catch. You must be trying to sell me something. But when it becomes obvious, no, he's not trying to sell you anything. Just try it for 90 days. Just shut up and try it. Man, that's the simplest message in the world.
Right. Yeah, I don't believe there's a bigger calling, too, on this planet than to help fellow man out. And there's nothing more rewarding than it either. And the big epiphany that I had later in my carnivore journey was, you know, we hear Dr. Barry, you talking, and other doctors and experts, and sometimes we talk about metabolism, mitochondria, and some of these things are like big words, but really all I did with carnivore was return to what is most natural for humans given the circumstances we have right now. I believe that's just eating meat. And I don't know how anybody could argue.
Way to put it. I love how you put that. Return to the doing the closest you can do in our current modern society to what we did more than 15,000 years ago. That's exactly perfectly stated, because that if you take each word of what you said literally and use the definition that the average person would apply to each word you just used in that statement, then everything makes sense. Yeah, it's perfect.
Right. So one of the most incredible things that happened for me besides overcoming depression, losing all the weight was I had congestive heart failure. I had a TIA mini stroke years ago. My ejection fraction was 44. I was dizzy. I was fatigued. About a year into carnivore, I went to the doctor just to get a test. Nothing wrong with me. I'm like, I think I reversed this thing. They told me it was chronic, but long story short, my congestive heart failure, ejection fraction 44, completely normal after 1 year on carnivore. It's a 65. And I had a lifelong irregular heartbeat since birth. For 43 years, I probably wore 24 heart monitors, Holter monitors throughout my life. Highly erratic. It's completely normal on carnivore. I still can't wrap my brain around that. We interviewed Dr. Philip Ovedia for the documentary on that. It's amazing what'll heal when you just return to what is natural. Are there any examples or patients or people you've worked with where you've had just like, this is kind of crazy, or that really stand out to you?
Yeah, the thing that really stands out to me is the mental health healing that can happen when you eliminate enough unnatural substances from the human diet. And when you eliminate all the unnatural foods that we didn't eat more than 15,000 years ago. I'm a family physician. I kind of went to medical school and through residency with kind of a surgery mindset, procedure heavy, that kind of thing. I was never really into mental health. I had many patients who had the diagnosis of depression, anxiety, OCD, ADHD, and worse, but that was never really the thing I was most interested in. And I think the Western paradigm and Western medicine has kind of trained all of us to think that the brain and the mind especially is somehow different and separate from the human body. And so you need psychotherapy or you need psychotropics for the brain. The brain's different. No, the brain is just like the rest of your body. Your brain is made of meat. It's made of fat. It's made of cholesterol. It is a part of your body. Your mind comes from your brain, and your brain is part of your body. And so I should have understood intuitively that mental health would improve if you improved your diet. But that didn't occur to me, especially early in this journey, that I was like, if anybody had said 5 years ago, carnivore diet is going to be revolutionary when it comes to mental health. Meat heavy, keto, high fat carnivore that is going to literally cure mental health diseases, I would have been like, nope, that's a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. But now you and I both are faced with tens of thousands of people who, many of whom used to be institutionalized. They used to be effectively pharmaceutically lobotomized by all the medications they were on. And now I just met a lady, her name is Valerie. We follow each other on X, on Twitter. And her mental health, it was just a disaster. until she found the carnivore diet. And I just met her in person at a keto conference in Louisville, Kentucky. Ebullient, effervescent, raring to go, just loving life. And if you had told her 10 years ago, one day you're going to act like this, she would have thought you're nuts. She would have thought you were the crazy one. She's like, no, there's no, I'll never do that. I could never do that. And now she does it on the daily basis and loves it and loves her life. If you'd have told me that was possible, I'd have been like, nah, I think keto and carnivore would probably help a lot of things, but mental health, come on. I don't think that's going to happen. But now I'm seeing it over and over and over ad infinitum. Yeah, yeah. Mental health absolutely improves on a proper human diet. That's the thing that's, it still blows me away. And, you know, I've read the books by Dr. Georgia Ead and Dr. Chris Palmer. I've read all the research about keto and mental health, and now increasingly carnivore mental health. But just seeing tens of thousands of people in person, in real life, on social media, who are like, I couldn't even function in regular society. But now after carnivore, I've got a job. I've got a fiance. It feels miraculous. It feels like magic, but it's not magic. It's physiology. The brain, it follows all the laws of physiology that the rest of your body follows. And if you eat a proper human diet that has all the nutrition your brain needs, which many plant-based diets do not have, and it's uninflammatory enough, your mental health is going to improve to some degree. In some cases, it's going to improve completely. Blows me away.
I love that answer. That's the reason I decided to do the documentary. It was all mental health, depression, anxiety. And then I started seeing all of these other issues. And I have heard so many stories from individuals, particularly because I talk a lot about mental health, depression, anxiety, but people with bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, like things that you would never imagine. And for me, I was hopelessly depressed for most of my adult life. I would have given anything. I used to say this, Dr. Berry, I was like, if I could just be normal like that person, just at a baseline. But the truth is, and I'm not hyping this up, this is the absolute truth. I am not at a baseline. I am on the opposite end of the spectrum of hopeless depression. I'm full of joy and gratitude. I'm thankful. Like, I love life. I want for nothing other than to get this word out to help more people. But, and I hear this over and over again from so many people. It's just amazing. Besides the depression and anxiety, the big realization I had with the documentary too is I just feel like the majority of the world, even those that aren't in a deep depression or anxiety, they have this brain fog that's a mild impairment where they just get home and they plop down on the couch and they do the bare minimum and they're just getting along and they're not living and they don't know what they don't know. They think they have brain fog. They don't realize how bad it is, but they're not going after their goals and dreams and they're not getting outside and kicking the soccer ball around with their kid because they're too fatigued and too tired. And I think that's a huge tragedy that a lot of people don't realize. And another reason we're pretty passionate about doing this documentary. So.
And here's another thing, Kerry, and this infuriates me. This is another thing that big medicine and big pharma are absolutely guilty of and should be held accountable for. And what it is they basically trained two or three generations of humans to give up. Because if you give somebody a false solution to a problem, you're like, oh, Kerry, you're on the couch, you're depressed. Here, try a plant-based diet. It's going to fix that. And you're like, well, crap. Okay, I'll try it. And it doesn't fix it. You understand that that's training you that nothing's going to work. What's the ultimate message? There is no hope. You're just screwed. That's the final take-home message that there are millions of people right now on the couch, in the recliner, on the floor crying in an institution, like there's no hope for me. I am hopeless. That you have been misinformed. There is hope. There absolutely is hope. But you can imagine you from 10 years ago, Kerry, if you heard me say that, you'd be like, no, I've tried it all. I've done it all. I've tried every pill at the pharmacy. I've tried all the diet. No, there's no hope for me. And so a lot of people have been so trained that they're almost hope averse. they're like anti-hope. Like, no, he's a shyster. He's a charlatan. He's trying to trick me there. I know there's no hope. I've tried it all. There's no hope. That's the thing that really infuriates me beyond anything else, is that we, as mainstream medicine, allopathic medicine, mainstream media, big pharma, big food, we've trained people. There's not a damn thing you can do. Just enjoy the junk food and just take your pills and just try to get along and be along and be happy that it could be worse. You know, that's what most people, they believe that. They have been trained to believe that in their heart of hearts, deep in their private inner sanctum. They believe there's no hope. This is as good as it gets. And that is false. That is not true. You have been improperly trained. You've been propagandized to believe that what you're suffering with right now is as good as it's going to get. That is false. That is not true. And that's why I'll never shut up trying to teach people. Just in my plea to that person I was just talking about and talking to is just try it for 90 days. I'm not going to make a penny if you try it. You're not going to lose a penny if you try it. Just try it for 90 days. And then if I'm wrong, you can denigrate me for the rest of your life and talk about what a hack I was and what a quack I was. But just try it for 90 days. That's all I want you to do.
Yeah. That's so powerful. It's so true. It's 100% true. Everything you just said there. For me, there's something wrong with my brain. It's just me. It's genetics. There's something wrong with me. And my cousin right now, type 2 diabetic, he believes there's something wrong with his genetics, not the fact that he's consuming excess carbohydrates. Literally a week ago, he had his leg amputated at the knee. Started with his foot, and he just kept eating these things because he's like, it's just, there's nothing I can do about it. Check my glucose numbers, but I'm just going to keep doing it. And he's the same way. He thinks it's something wrong with him. So I really appreciate you coming on here, Dr. Barry. I'm just looking at the time here. I just want to thank you so much. This has been great. You're doing so much great work. You've got your YouTube channel, but can you talk real quick? You're working on a lot of projects. Where can people find you? What else are you working on, sort of thing?
Yeah, so I've got 3 books that I've already written, some alone, some with a colleague, that you can find on Amazon and other anywhere books are sold. I've got the YouTube channel, but I'm also on TikTok, because that's where the younger generation is. And I'm not trying to improve the health of just people my age. I'm trying to improve the health of every single human on the face of the earth. People on other continents, people who speak other languages, people who are in their teens, in their early 20s. I'm trying to improve the health of everybody. I'm on X. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Clapper. I'm on Vero. I'm on MeWe. I'm on Gab. Have you ever heard of some of those? Like, because just like the bank robber robs banks because that's where the money is, I'm on social media trying to help people because that's where the people are. They're on social media. And so I'm trying to be on as many platforms as I can. Anytime somebody shares one of my videos, you're helping me to reach new people. Every time you share a link, every time you hit the thumbs up, like, that's free. That doesn't cost you a penny. But you're literally reaching the algorithm out to touch a person who's never heard this message before. Maybe somebody who doesn't even speak the language you speak. They weren't even raised on the continent you were raised on. But they're suffering from metabolic disease, whether that manifests as physical disease or mental disease. Doesn't matter. They're still suffering. And by sharing this, by paying it forward, by starting your own YouTube channel or your own TikTok, you're literally helping to improve the health of every human on planet Earth. I don't think there's very many callings that you can listen to in your life that are higher and more admirable than that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Barry. And sharing a Dr. Barry video could save someone's life. And that isn't even an exaggeration. So I will have links to everything Dr. Barry's working on, the books, the social media, everything in the description below. Thank you so much, Dr. Barry. I'm your best friend. I'm loyal to you forever. I really appreciate it. It's changed my life forever and so many other people. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kerry. Keep paying it forward like you do every day.
Absolutely.